Hello, everyone, and it's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 149, season 6. Today's date is July 19th, 2022, and thank you for joining me today. We have an interesting show coming up. Today, I will discuss the Animal Kingdom Pet Store that was located on the northwest side of Chicago. Also, I will talk about vocalist Cliff Johnson of the rock group Off Broadway or Off Broadway USA, whichever one. And also, I'll do a recap of last week's post on Vanished Chicagoland Facebook page. But right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Camé Beauty Soap. Oh boy, that's a product you haven't heard in a long time. And the commercial is from 1977. So sit back and enjoy. And I will be right back. Thank you.
Karen is so beautiful and poised. I wasn't. In fact, I cringe when I see pictures of myself at her age. So I learned to work at my looks, and like Karen, I found Camé can help. It's such a gentle, thorough cleanser and rinses easily so you feel soft, smooth, not greasy. Learn to work at your looks and use Camé, the beauty cleanser, for your beautiful young complexion.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Camé Beauty Soap. I'll give you a little history of this particular brand. Here we go. It was introduced in 1926 by Procter & Gamble, and it was marketed as the pure soap for women. It was white at first, then later on more colors added. And its slogan was for Camé, the soap for beautiful women. And later it was replaced for your beautiful complexion at every age. That's very nice. And then in 2014, they sold Camé to Unilever, a company, but they stopped manufacturing in the United States. And I heard it's very popular in Eastern Europe and India. It's a very popular product. And I don't know if you could find it in the United States. I doubt it, you know. And then I remember from the 1970s, they did a lot of commercials when I grew up watching television. And the most famous one was a woman. Her name was Luciana Pignatelli Avedon. And she was, she was an Italian socialite. And she was a jewelry designer. And she's the spokesmodel for Camé Soap. And I remember her. And when I watched her, she was very elegant, you know, very dressed well and spoke beautifully. You know, her English was, intact. And then she stopped being the spokesperson. And then she lived in Europe. And then she passed away in October 2008. And she committed suicide because she invested a lot of investments, and they were worthless. And then she didn't want to face being poor. Oh, that's awful. What an awful thing to do. You know, that's bad. It really is. But Camé Soap had other spokespersons and spokeswomen, excuse me, spokesmodels, whatever you said. And then, but I still remember this commercial. The funny thing is my mom bought this product a long time ago in the 70s. And you know what? I used it one time. I don't know. You know, I was a little kid and I was curious. It was very soft, you know, and very good. But it was mostly for women. Okay. Alrighty, and then now at the beginning of the program, I run down the list of what I'm going to discuss today. I will talk about the Animal Kingdom Pet Store, in Chicago on the north side. Also, I will talk about vocalist Cliff Johnson of Off Broadway, and then I'll do a recap of last week's post on Van Chicagoland. First, we're going to talk about Cliff Johnson. And when I heard the news that he passed away on Saturday, he was 70 years old, for Off-Broadway, oh, that's a special memory for me. Because I remember when this album was released. And that album was very popular to teenagers, you know, and young people like myself. So, so I'll give you a little history of the band. And it was either called Off-Broadway USA or just Off-Broadway. And it was founded with four guys. One was Paul Darrow, Paul McDermott, John Pasden, Dan Santarcola. Let's see, is it four? No, it's five guys. Pardon me. And, of course, Cliff Johnson. He was the vocalist and guitarist. And their debut album was called On. And it was released in 1979. And it reached the Billboard 200. It was not 101, not very popular. But the single Stay in Time reached number 51, very high. And I heard this this single on the radio every day, all day when I was growing up. And I was in Bogan High School in Chicago. I was a junior. And they used to play this on the loop. WLUP, WLS, what else they played on? I forgot what, maybe, I don't think WFYR, I don't think so. Maybe, perhaps WMET, they probably played that, and they played it all day long, well, during 1980. And I love the song, and I still love it to this day. It's very catchy, very... you know, it's one of those songs that is stuck in your head forever. it's still there. And they released another follow-up album called Quick Turns. Didn't do very well. And then the group continued until 1983, and then they broke up. And then they got together again, and they got back together again in the late 90s, and they recorded another album called Falling In, and I don't think it did very well. And then they performed live at Fitzgerald's, that's a bar in Berwyn, Illinois. And there's videos of that, and they do play that song, Stay in Time. So that's kind of cool. And when I heard, like I said, when I heard the news about Cliff Johnson passed away, it's like, oh, that's awful, you know, because... he was a good singer. He really was. And I think I remember the commercials for Off-Broadway. I think they did a TV commercial. Maybe they advertised their album, and you know, at local record stores. But I remember seeing the album at the Cruising Music 2. Cruising Music number 1 was at Archer in California in the Brighton Park here neighborhood of Chicago. This Cruising Music 2 was in Ashburn, right across the street from Bogan High School, where I graduated. And I went there frequently. And I saw the album. I saw the A-track. I saw the cassette. That's great. So they also performed, during that time, they performed at, I think, at Marriott's Great America, I've been told. They also played at St. Rita's High School in the gym. I think it's the St. Rita that's not located now, 79th and Western. That was the other location, because that was Quigley South over there. And I don't know where else they would play. And when they were performing later on, they performed with Cheap Trick, and a band from Rockford, which is very popular. They still play to this day. Also, the rock group UFO from England, I think they were the opening act, I believe. I don't know. I'm not sure, because I've heard about that. I think they played in Wisconsin. And I heard they played at the Granada Theater. the International Amphitheater. They played everywhere locally. So that's kind of nice. It really is. That's a shame. So my condolences to Cliff Jonathan's family. Okay. Next up, I will talk about the Animal Kingdom Pet Store. Now, this was a very not unusual. Well, the pet store was it's just a pet store. That's not the usual. That's not the unusual part. What's the unusual part is that they sold exotic animals, not ordinary animals like dogs, cats, parakeets, fish. No, they did sell that, but they also sold other animals as well. So I'll give you a little history of that. Okay. And here we go. And the store opened in 1944. It was first located at 3021 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago in the Avedon neighborhood. And the owner was Bernie Hoffman. Then later on, it moved down the street at 2980 North Milwaukee. And later on, it was owned by Bernie Hoffman's son, Robert Hoffman, and his wife, Sandra. At first, it started as a traditional pet store, selling puppies, kittens, fish, parakeets, And then later on, exotic animals were added. And that was largely due when television was growing. It became very popular. And then there were people started to rent animals for TV show appearances. I think like maybe Bozo Circus. They probably did that. Or it's possible. And then it started when there was a magician. He came in and he requested two doves to use in his act. You see when a magician performs his magic and he uses two doves. And then that took off. And then later on, it was the pets were added. Then there was monkeys, tigers, exotic birds. And this is before when there were governmental regulations were added. So you couldn't do that today. I don't think so. And when you walked into the pet store, you walked around. And you'd be fascinated. It's like going to a zoo, like a very exotic, like the San Diego Zoo or the Brookfield Zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo. It was like that. Now, the most famous animal, of course, that lived there or, part-time or all the time, was Chelveston the duck from the Ray Rayner Show. Now, everyone remembered that duck. When you grew up, watching Ray Rayner in the morning, and he also had Chelveston the duck. And my memories of Chelveston was that Ray Rayner would introduce Chelveston the duck, and he would come out, he's flapping his wings, and he was feisty. He bit you, and he bit Ray Rayner sometimes. And I remember he ate a lot of lettuce. He was eating like that. He loved lettuce. And, like I said, he was a not well-mannered duck. Also, when he wasn't performing on Ray Rayner, you would go visit him. He was right there. But there were four Chelvistas. It's not just one. And the last one passed away in, 1991. People from the north side, or if you're in the area, you go visit him, and there he was, in a cage. I don't know if he bit you. I haven't heard. So that's kind of cool. Like that. And then there were other animals as well. But before, Bernie Hoffman, his father owned a feed. It was also called Animal Kingdom. He had a store, but he opened in 1907. But he only sold animal feed for chickens, like poultries, turkeys, chickens and all that, and ducks for that also. Other animals were llamas, peacocks, tigers, and they also, Go Blast department store rented tigers for their tiger of a sale. You remember that? And they also had chimpanzees, and it was interesting. When I posted this yesterday on on Facebook, someone mentioned there was an ostrich there. I don't know if that's true. And his name was Sam. That'd be interesting like that, you know. And so that's funny. And let's see. There was also a small elephant there called Little Audrey. And Little Audrey appeared on Super Circus. That was at children's television show in the 50s. I don't know, a lot of people remember that or have heard of it. And there was a tiger. Like I said, there was a tiger. Her name was Tina. And, you know, and that's very interesting like that. And they did have a lion there, and his name was Louie the Lion. So that's kind of cool like that. Unfortunately, the Animal Kingdom closed in 2009, and the owners decided to retire. So that was the end of that, and that's a shame. And I watched a I think there's a couple of clips on YouTube about the store. I could be wrong, but I watched a little of it. And so there's photos of that store. Of the pet store, that is, and it's really, you know, it's like a mural outside, and it's kind of cool. It's kind of nice. So it's a shame, you know. If you want to open a pet store, I don't think you would open like Animal Kingdom, not with exotic animals. No, I don't think so. Okay. Alrighty, and let's see. Okay, I will be right back. To do a recap of last week's post on Vanishing Goggleland. Stay with me, and I'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, everyone, I am back. Sorry for the break. You know, I had to clear my throat. So right now I'm going to talk about last week's post on Vanishing Goggleland Facebook page. So here we go. I posted a photo. This was my cover photo of my page. It was called the Spiaggia Restaurant. That was located at 980 North Michigan Avenue on the second floor. It closed last year. They also had a Cafe Spiaggia, too. So this is the restaurant. You know, I forgot there were two of them in a way. But I've heard it was a wonderful place to eat. At a beautiful view of Michigan Avenue or the lakefront, it was gorgeous. You know, it's a shame they it closed. It was in operation for about over 30 years. You know, I never went there. I always I've heard of it, but I never went there. It's a shame. The food was excellent from what I heard from comments from people. And so let's see what else. I found an interesting item. It was a red and white blue yardstick from Polk Brothers, and I think this was sold during the bicentennial in 1976, and it looked kind of cool. I like that. I wish I had that. That come very handy. And also had the brand Hot Point. You know, they made, I remember they made stoves and refrigerators. I don't think that that type of brand exists anymore. I think it's gone. Okay. Also, let's see what else. Let's see, about a week ago, it was the 43rd anniversary of Disco Demolition. Now, like, a lot of people liked it. A lot of people hated it. It's like that. I wrote a story in my blog, Chicagoland.blog. And I was in Athens, Greece at the time, visiting my relatives. So it was me, my brothers, my mom. My father didn't come because he had to work. And that was my second time going to Greece. So the first time I was in 1970, I was 6 years old. I think it was six. No, I was not six. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was 6 years old. I'm sorry. And when in 1970, I stayed for about 3 months, and I went back to school in October. I was late. But in 1979, I went there for just 2 months, and the disco demolition occurred while I was there. And I had no idea what was going on until a friend of my brother's wrote a letter to him telling him what was happening. But I was oblivious. I don't know what was going on. So when we returned in mid-August, everyone in our neighborhood told us about it. And there were a few kids in my class at Bogan High School went there. And it was like, oh, God, I missed this. I wish I went. Because it was historical. It was infamous, you know. You could watch news reports on YouTube about it. And, you know, Steve Dahl was there, blew up the records, disco records, that is. It's very controversial. It still is to this day. It really was. But that's the way it went. Oh, boy. Okay. Next up, last week was the 60th anniversary of the Hillside Theater that opened in Hillside, Illinois, in the Hillside Mall area. That a lot of people remember this theater, and it had that space age, you know, thing, that round thing like that. Something out of the Jetsons, you know. It was kind of cool. Maybe they got the idea from the Jetsons. I don't know. And it was there until the late 2000s, I believe. I'm not sure. And now the theater is a church. But a lot of people have many memories of that theater. They love the theater, and so it's that's a shame. It really is. So. They love the mall. The mall has changed somewhat. It's not a mall, really. It's like a shopping center, but it's not. I think first it was outdoor, then it was indoor, and then, you know, that was that. Okay. Next up, I found a photo from the Chicago Tribune. It was from 2002, and there were it was a photo of five cell phones from Motorola. And they were flip phones, and I remember these. I had a flip phone. I had a Razor, and I had a cool blue one. I have them all in my drawer. I haven't got rid of them. I don't know. I can't get rid of them because, I don't know, they were special. What's special about these flip phones? You couldn't text as you do today. You can't text. You can't open apps. No. It's either you have voicemail or you see who's calling you. That's all you did. So you just talk, and that's it. You just talk to this person, which sounds very quaint when you look back to it. it's a nice photo, and people loved it, seeing that, you know. And they always says, I had this phone and all that. You know, some people like flip phones. I like them too, because when you flip it, you put it in your pocket. You know, that's kind of nice. Okay. Also, I posted a menu from the Old Barn Restaurant that was located at 8100 South Parkside Avenue in Burbank. It was like State Road and Central. And when I posted that menu, oh my God, it became very popular. People love that restaurant. They miss it to this day. And they had wonderful food. And I went there twice. I think once or twice, I believe. Yeah, twice I did. And I remember the dinner rolls. Oh, delicious. You know, I don't remember what I ate. I don't remember. This was in the 80s. Yeah, I went there. And that opened in the 20s. And Burbank didn't exist then. And Burbank, Illinois did not exist. It was like out in the middle of nowhere. And I heard Al Capone dine there and, you know, some gangsters. And it was a great venue. Also, a lot of people remember there was a bartender named Ernie, and he performed magic tricks, and he was very entertaining. I did see Ernie when I went there. I don't know why. Maybe I had the day off. And I wish I had seen him, so I heard he's wonderful. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I don't know. I don't even know his last name. So maybe do a internet search and try to find him, or ask somebody. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. He probably has some interesting stories. Yeah, so the Old Barn, I still miss it to this day. Okay. Also, I posted a photo of Frazier Thomas, who hosted Family Classics, also did Bozo Circus. We all know Family Classics aired on Friday nights, and then it moved to Sunday afternoons, where it remained until it was canceled. And the reason I posted this photo is I will do the 60th anniversary of Family Classics will be in September. And I will create a video, write a story on my blog about my memories, and I will also do a podcast, and I will talk about my memories as well. So it'd be kind of fun. I did a similar project 2 years prior. Last year I did a Bozo Circus for the 60th anniversary. That was kind of cool. And the other one in 2020, I did the 50th anniversary of Creature Features. I created videos. I wrote a story of them. I did a podcast of Bozo Circus last year, and also did a podcast of Creature Features. But in 2020, I didn't do a podcast. I delayed that. I was going to start it, but I got sick, prostate cancer, and I was recovering, did radiation. So I started my podcast in March 2021. And then for the 50th episode of Vanishing Stories, I did a podcast of Creature Features. So look for, keep an eye on Family Classics in the fall. And, I'll post little teasers and photos and to let everyone know it is coming. So it'll be a lot of fun. I enjoy it. It's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. I don't mind. It's great. Okay. Also coming up next, I posted another menu. This is from Eli Steakhouse. That was located at 215 East Chicago Avenue in Chicago. And the business is gone, but their cheesecakes they still make them, and it's delicious. I love them. They're kind of pricey, but they're good. Oh, and I think you can purchase where the factory is. It's on the northwest side. I think, what's the street? Forest Preserve Drive around there, near Belmont or Addison around there. I think I passed by one day, and I forgot. But I heard the restaurant was wonderful. Excuse me. It was a great, great place to eat. It really was. And people miss it. They really do. Okay. Sunday was National Ice Cream Day. That was on the 17th. And I found a pamphlet of Brussels 33 flavors, and it listed all the flavors of the ice cream and also the locations, not just Chicago, but other cities as well. And it's kind of cool. I remember the Brussels at Fort City Mall. It was there a long time at the food court. And I've had a couple times when I lived in the area, and it was pretty good. I miss it. And it was founded in Chicago. And I think their factory, their headquarters, was at 4000 West Belden Avenue in Chicago on the north side. That's on Pulaski around there. So that's it's like Seal Test. Remember that? Yeah, so that's that. Another photo I posted, of course, was Salerno cookies. Now, Salerno butter cookies are still made, not in Chicago. They had the factory first in the west side, like Division Street and Costner. Then they moved it to Niles. And people who lived in that area remember the smell of that. And so it was a photo of not just butter cookies. It was also peanut butter and graham crackers and Royal Stripes, my favorites. I still love them. Keebler makes those. It doesn't taste like Salerno. They're good, but there was something different. There was something distinctive about that, about the Salerno Royal Stripes. Oh, I love those. That's great. And I posted this about a couple of days ago, and people are still talking about it because they miss the buttercakes. They don't taste the same anymore. They wish they bring the the original ingredients and the formula back. I wish they would, but, so you can still find a Jewel or order online. Also, in the Christmas time, they make the jingles. You can find that. Okay, and let's see what else. So I guess that's it. So I hope you enjoyed the recap. It's exhausting to talk about it, but it was fun. So that'll be all for today. I talked about about vocalist Cliff Johnson of the band Off Broadway, also the Animal Kingdom Pet Store that was located on the north side of Chicago, and I did a recap of last week's post on Van Chicago and Facebook page. Once this podcast is available, please subscribe to any podcast that's available, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, is there, also Spotify, Breaker, Amazon Music It's on, let's see, and I have a YouTube channel called Vanishing Chicagoland Stories. You can listen in. It should be ready this afternoon, so just keep an eye and do a search. Also, it'll be on my social media accounts, Twitter, Facebook as well. And so that's it. So I will do another episode next weekend. It's 150. We'll do something. I'll do something special. Well, I have an idea of what I will talk about, but I'll give some thought. We will see. Okay, and please subscribe and follow my other podcast, TV Oblivion, and I talk about TV shows that are largely forgotten and rarely syndicated. And I will do another episode of that this weekend as well. That will be episode 11. Okay, so this is Pete Costanis, your host of Vanishing Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. And bye-bye for now for me. And here's Ray Rayner, Chelveston the Duck's partner, with a little traveling music saying bye-bye. Take care, everybody. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.